Welcome back to In Focus on News Radio KMAN. We're chatting today with Dr. Timothy Schaefer, Assistant Professor of Communication Studies and Assistant Director of the Institute for Civic Discourse and Democracy. And lately in the news, there's been a lot on the I word, and that is impeachment. And there's talk about that going on in our newscast every top of the hour here. Can't get away from it right now.
No, it's where we are now.
So I just wanted to kind of, you know, educate the public a little bit on how this process works. I remember as a child when Bill Clinton was impeached and sort of that whole process, but it starts at the House level.
It does, yeah. And so that's why when Speaker Pelosi the other day made her announcement that they were going to open this impeachment inquiry, that was such big news. So we've only had a few examples of impeachment processes happening ever in our history, right? Because this is impeachment is designed to be kind of an act of last resort, so to speak. And in fact, we've never actually removed anyone from office because of an impeachment process. They have been impeached in the House, and so we'll talk about this in a second. But then it requires the Senate to also act to actually remove from office. And so the closest we ever got, President Nixon left office, but it was basically he kind of saw what was coming and kind of got out prior to this all happening. Andrew Jackson was the one who fell one vote short.
Andrew Johnson.
What did I say? Jackson?
Yeah.
Oh, Johnson. One vote short in the Senate, right? So President Clinton was impeached in the House again, but the Senate it didn't act in those ways, and so. So we've only had a few examples of this happening in our past. So it's a pretty significant thing, right? It's interesting now, just given kind of the extreme kind of polarization that exists of this happening in this moment, and you know, even thinking to the most recent incident with President Clinton, just at the advent of the internet, right? The ability to kind of share information and engage around this was still filtered through a fairly traditional channel. So it'll be interesting, and it's not surprising that already at this point things are going as they are. But the formal process is that this inquiry opens. The Judiciary Committee will take the lead on this. There are a handful of other committees within the House, which are led by Democrats because they have the House right now. Will move forward with their proceedings, and then they'll decide as they go through these hearings if, in fact, they will draw up articles of impeachment. So that will be kind of the next step, and then the House will vote. So it's a vote. I mean, impeachment is not, and this is also important, right? Impeachment is not necessarily did you break the law or not, but it is it's a tool that's designed to be able to remove a president or others, right? Members of the Supreme Court, for example, could be impeached. We don't often think about it happening because it is such a rare tool that and it's designed that way. But these articles of impeachment would be put forward to the House. The House will vote. There's a tracker. I believe the Washington Post has been updating it. At least that's one of the sources I've been following, of just saying who is in support of this impeachment inquiry, and it's edging close to 218. It was at least last night when I looked at some of these numbers, and so we're, you know, it's moving in a direction that, and I think in light of the hearings that are going on today around the whistleblower complaint and other things, that this will kind of add up to a situation that we find ourselves in, maybe relatively soon, within months. That's what I mean. The Clinton impeachment process, from really kind of start to finish, was months long. It was not something that drug on extremely long. So we may see this, right? I mean, so this is a political act. All these things are political decisions, in the purest sense of that word. And so so we'll see, right? We have an impending election, right? We're already in the swing of that, the presidential level and across the board. And so, you know, there's calculations that are made, I imagine, for that. But the formal process is that the House will go through this, they'll vote, and then if and when, then it would go to the Senate. But so the House can impeach, but a president is not necessarily removed from office by that particular act, and then it would go to the Senate, which is currently led by Republicans as a majority. And so it seems, unless something really changes in this moment that it's not going to pass the Senate, right? So, so that's kind of where things are. But for the listeners, I mean, to remember that this is, you know, fundamentally a process that is extreme, right? So it speaks to the gravity of, I think, the situation, and also is complicated by the current environment that we exist in, right? The fact that there's a lot of questioning about sources and where information is coming from, and intentional sharing of information, right? Do we trust this whistleblower, or what's the problem? I mean, all of this kind of stuff, it's just, it's kind of wrapped up even more intensely than anything we've ever experienced in the past.
Yeah, this really kind of brings back the whole idea for civics and discourse.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you talked about Congress, you know, maybe wanting to be more civil, or I don't know if they want to be, but they're more of a push for that in Congress. This doesn't seem like that's happening right now.
Yeah, this is where I think the big hearing today is about the whistleblower situation with Ukraine. The fact that concurrently there's a hearing, infinitely smaller, right? Fewer cameras, reporters, and everything else in that room. But there are efforts, and there are members of Congress who are really trying to create conditions for better collaboration and work together, right? So thinking about how do we restructure even the functionality of our time together? So more time in session and better blocks of time away back in their home districts with their families, right? Because most people are, members of Congress are not moving to D.C. as they did historically. Most are still staying in their districts and just going back and forth. So this is, you know, one finding of research is that we don't have some of the same bipartisan collaboration that we did in the past, because literally when people were in session and lived there, they would be in session and they'd go and have dinner and drinks and hang out with people across the aisle, and they'd get to know them in a human way rather than just kind of these caricatures that we exist in right now, because they're not having that level of interaction. So it's not just the stuff for us to be able to bridge these divides, but it's also fundamentally for Congress as well. And so that's where I think this hearing on the modernization of Congress is really important, because they are thinking about how do we think of things like civility having an impact on the way that we actually engage each other.
It makes you wonder if we've gone to a point here where it's too far with all the scuffling going on in Washington D.C., if we can ever get it back.
Well, yeah, I mean, and that's, yeah, have we hit the point of no return? And I guess I'm the eternal optimist, but man, it's dark trying to think of how do we get ourselves out of this proverbial ditch. And it's not just right now, right? We've been building to this a long time. You can track it. It's largely been over the last 30 years or so that it has been viewed that it's more advantageous to do this true adversarial kind of approach rather than bipartisanship. And if what you're trying to do is advocate for certain policies and enact certain laws, then you're going to do what is necessary to get to that. And in contrast to saying there's a higher ideal or this bigger sense of who we are and what we're trying to do. And so this is, I think, the great challenge in the space that we exist in right now. And we want to make sure that we are cultivating the possibilities of that kind of interaction, that kind of collaboration and engagement, not just in Congress, but in a lot of different spaces.
Let's just say worst case scenario here, that this goes on, Trump gets removed from office, and we have an election next year. What happens then with the Republican Party here?
Well, I mean, this is one of those big looming questions, is what does this mean? You know, the timing was a decision by Democratic leadership, you know, Speaker Pelosi. So here's that moment. Is the timing right? But also for Republicans, right? There are lots of implications here. There's going to be more that comes out through these inquiries, because there's more capacity to elicit some of this information. And as the hearing is going on today, the fact that we have, it's not verbatim, but it's a document that captures kind of the essence of this interaction between two presidents. And, you know, our president is asking for a favor. He says it as much, and he's acknowledged as such. And that's hugely impactful when we think about implications for an election cycle, right? That he is presumably going to be involved in. And so this is real stuff. And so I think the implications for everybody, this is very real.
I mean, he wrote the book, The Art of the Deal. I mean,
yeah. I mean, he ghostwritten, but yeah, in some fashion he was part of it. But yeah, this is part of it. How do we find ourselves out of this? And I don't know.
All right. Well, it's going to be interesting to keep watching here and hopefully sift through all the the biased news and and just get the information out to people here, because that's what we deserve that.
Yeah, no, I think that's where I think having important trusted news sources is really vital, and for people to be able to engage in meaningful ways is whether it's in Congress or in local communities is vital.
All right. Dr. Schaefer, I know you got to run here, got to catch a flight, so we'll let you go and have a good trip to Arizona.
Yeah, thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
All right. Stay tuned. More In Focus after this. We'll talk with Pawnee Mental Health Executive Director Robin Cole next.